कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जन्न बाला गिरिभर धारी गोपी जन्न बाला गिरिभर धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीर बनचारी जमुना तीरा बनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन भाला गिरिभर धारी जैया गोपी जन भाला गिरिभर धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जामुना तीर बनचारी जमुना तीर बनचारी जैया रथ माधव कुंज बिहारी जैया रथ माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य आशुतोत्तर शत शिशिमाद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य आशुतोत्तर शत शिशिमाद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की इस्कोन फौंदर आचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमं भागवतं की दाय गौर प्रेमनंदी ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल डेवोटीज ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल डेवोटीज ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल डेवोटीज ओ ग्लोरिस टू शिशि गुरु वंशी गौरंगा ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Withdrawal of the Cosmic Creation, Chapter 5, The Demigods Appear to the Lord for Protection, Text Number 6. Tasyanu baba katito, Tasyanu baba katito, Gunascha paramodaya, Bhauman renu sabimane, Jo Vishnur varnayet gunam, Tasya nubhava kathito, Gunascha paramodaya, Bauman renun sabimane, Jo Vishnur varnayet gunam, Tasyanu bhava katito, Gunascha paramodaya, Bauman renun sabimane, Jo Vishnur varnayet gunam. Please chant. Tasya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appearing as Vaikuntha, Anubhava, great activities, Katita, were explained, Guna, transcendental qualities, Cha, also, Parama Udaya, greatly glorious, Bhauman, earthly, Renun, particles, Saha, someone, Bimane, can count, Jaha, such persons, Vishnu, of Lord Vishnu, Varnayet, can count, Gunam, the transcendental qualities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Although the great activities and transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's various incarnations are wonderfully described, sometimes we are unable to understand them. Yet, everything is possible for Lord Vishnu. If one could count the atoms of the universe, then he could count the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But no one can count the atoms of the universe, nor can anyone count the transcendental qualities of the Lord. Purport. The glorious activities referred in this connection took place after his personal bodyguards, Jai and Vijay, became deitas. Having been cursed by the great sages Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanat Kumar, and Sananda, Jai, as Hiranyaksha, have to fight Varahadev, and the same Varahadev is mentioned in regard to the Vaivarta millennium. The fighting, however, took place during the reign of the first Manu, Swayambhuva. Therefore, according to some authorities, there are two Varahas. According to others, however, Varaha appeared during the regime of Swayambhuva Manu and stayed in the water until that of Vaivarta Manu. Some may doubt that this could be possible, but the answer is that everything is possible. If one could count the atoms within the universe, one could count the qualities of Lord Vishnu, but the atoms of the universe are impossible for anyone to count. And similarly, no one can count the transcendental qualities of the Lord. Tasyanu bhavakatito gunascha paramodhaya bauman renun sabimane javishnor varnaye gunam. Although the great activities and transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of God, his various incarnations, are wonderfully described, sometimes we are unable to understand them. Yet, everything is possible for Lord Vishnu. If one could count the atoms of the universe, then he could count the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But no one can count the atoms of the universe, nor can anyone count the transcendental qualities of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashati Adi Satarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So, a new chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, we just heard a very exciting narration of the deliverance of Gajendra, and previous to that we heard the narration of Prahlad Maharaj and Nrisingadev, etc., Hiranyakashipu. Now, you know, a fantastic, this chapter also is going to introduce us to another amazing pastime that, if we're talking about inconceivable and pretty out there to actually imagine to happen, you know, is this one is probably one of the top ones, which is the churning of the ocean of milk. In this pastime, I think there's several incarnations simultaneously, incarnations of the Lord simultaneously happening. So it's quite something. And then there's so many great personalities that comes. Anyway, it's tremendous. So very exciting to, you know, get into this part too. So almost there is no end to the excitement of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's like the best. So some of the things that I describe here is the inconceivable feature of the Lord, and his inconceivable qualities, or countless qualities. But something that is not simple to understand is how the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original personality of Godhead, Krishna, he expands himself into unlimited incarnations, expansions, in order to perform different pastimes, different things in relationship to this world and also to the spiritual world. It is explained in the first canto by Srila Sukadev Goswami that the incarnations of the Lord in this world is they're unlimited, just like the waves of the ocean. They're constantly coming, and you can count them. They will be constantly there. So the Lord interacts with this material world like in an unlimited manner. It's constantly interacting with the material world. And simultaneously and in so many levels, he's completely involved in this material creation. And when the Lord comes to this material creation, the term is used avatar. Avatar in Sanskrit means he who descends, or one who descends. So the translation of avatar that Prabhupada used, but he also qualifies it, because we use the term incarnation, and incarnation is not exactly perfectly define the word avatar. Incarnation comes from a Latin word that is to enter into flesh. In Latin, in Spanish is carnal, which is flesh. So Spanish is very coming from Latin. So to enter into flesh is not what happened when the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends. The incarnation is more related to the Christian, Judeo-Christian tradition, to the sort of define Jesus, Lord Jesus. But for Krishna and Krishna's expansion, Krishna's avatar is not exactly that. Well, it's actually not that, because Krishna doesn't take, his incarnations don't take a material form. These forms are not material. They're not flesh and bones and things like that, that ours. It's not made of material elements. He manifests himself in his spiritual forms. These are spiritual forms. And even in the situations in which the Lord manifests a material form, this is not like the material forms of regular living entities, conditioned souls that is here. It's completely different. In the past tense, when Lord Krishna conclude his pastimes in the world, after Dwarka disappears and everything, in the 11th canto we hear how Krishna left this world. So it's very bewildering. He actually left a body, and so the explanation is that
he did that in order to reciprocate for the atheistic people. If one can understand that. I mean, I really don't understand it fully, but something that it goes a little over my head. But Krishna did leave a body. The pastime was that he was performing, when he was ready to leave, he instructed Uddhava and then sent Uddhava away, and he entered into meditation to get ready to leave. And then somehow or other, there is some hunter that came, and he confused Krishna with some creature and shot an arrow to Krishna. And that arrow pierces Krishna's thumb in his lotus feet. The thumb. Huh? Or heel. Well, somewhere in his feet, you know. So he pierced his feet, okay. His heel. Or, you know, I sort of remember it was, you know, something in his. But, and just didn't do anything, just pierced it there. And then Krishna left his body. So he just ascended to the spiritual world with him, you know, the whole, it is explained that all religious principles, everything follows after him. And then that body that was pierced by it remained like that, sitting, you know, with an arrow in his, you know, heel or his feet. So that's different too. It's not, although it is explained that it's something similar to the deities. Although we see form, and we see that it's made of, you know, matter. It could be wood, it could be stone, it could be metal. However, it's a different thing. It's not, you know, is fully spiritual. And how is that possible? Well, for Vishnu, everything is possible. It is his energy, ultimately. So Krishna have the capacity to switch from matter to spirit. Well, how is that? Well, you know, we see it too in you know, materialistic people. The Prabhupada explains, it's just like someone has, you know, a machine that controls. Sometimes it makes electricity to create heat. Sometimes it makes electricity to create air condition or cold, like that, just by a switch. So similarly, Krishna can switch, you know, by his will. So therefore, you know, his material energy becomes spiritual. Like, you know, when he touches prasadam when he accepts the bhoga offer, then that plate, once he takes it, then it becomes fully spiritualized. It's the same, you know, you put the samosa before the offering in the plate, and you receive back the samosa, and it looks the same thing. You have to, you know, you have the potato, you have the peas and the thing, but, you know, before it was material, after it's spiritual. You know, okay, so how Krishna does that? Well, he does it. That's why Krishna is the supreme. So he's able to do that. So back to the whole thing, the word. So incarnation is not a proper term. You know, Krishna is inconceivable, and he's able to manifest, you know, when he comes to the world, he enters, but he's never touched by the material energy. So it is explained, Lord Chaitanya explains it, that there's six different types of avatars or so-called incarnations. Six. And the first one is the Purusha avatars. Then there's the Lila avatars. Then there's the Guna avatars. There's the Manvantara avatars. the Yuga avatars and the Shaktivesh avatars. These are explained by Lord Chaitanya. Now, unlimited incarnations that you cannot count, you know, and they divided further into these six. And then Lord Chaitanya gets even more technical, and there's further levels and divisions of Krishna's expansions, and some, you know, will be according to his emotional manifestations, some are more like utilitarians, you know. Anyway, it gets very, very technical in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And specifically, you can read very much, you know, a whole detailed summary of the incarnations in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. It's a book of Srila Prabhupada that he wrote. And I read it once, and I think that whole thing went over my head. So I can sort of, it gets so technical and so confusing that, you know, for me, I fall into this explanation that, you know, is here in the verse that you can, you know, if I can count the atoms of the universe, maybe I can understand, you know. So, but that's not possible. So these are in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, you find this in the discussion that Lord Chaitanya has with Srila Sanatana Goswami. He gets into a very detailed explanation of these things, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Srila Sanatana Goswami. And the Purusha avatars, are the first ones that are described by Lord Chaitanya. And the Purusha avatars are the manifestation of the Lord that have to do with creating the whole, you know, material world. So, the first Purusha avatar is Lord Mahavishnu, also known as Karuna Dakshai Vishnu. And this is expansions of the Lord for the purpose of the creation of the material world. So we know that Lord Mahavishnu, Karuna Dakshai Vishnu, he lies in the ocean, in the Kosha ocean. And this Kosha ocean is also called the Virata River. And it is explained that it divides the spiritual creation with the material creation. The material creation is only one quarter of the whole creation of the Lord. Three quarters is spiritual, one quarter is material. And then there's like a division, or, you know, yeah. So the dividing area is this ocean or river. And the Lord is sort of submerged in this ocean. And the ocean is called the Karuna Ocean, or which means, the Karuna means for the purpose of creation, like that. And submerged in there, the Lord also manifests this, it's called the Mahatattva, which is the some material manifestation. Nothing is there, but it's just the sum total of the material manifestation. And then that sum total is compared to a womb. And then he impregnates with his side the living entities into the womb of the material creation. And then it is explained that also from his, from as he submerged, from the pores of his body, then universe are manifested in the form of little seeds. And then these seeds enter into the womb of the Mahatattva, and then they immediately start to, you know, get covered by some of the elements of the Mahatattva, and then these covers create like a eggshell things. And the covers explain that each covering of the material elements is 10 times bigger than the other one. So it really gets huge. And then each one of these seeds becomes, you know, like a universe. And Lord Mahavishnu expands into each universe as Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu, and from his perspiration, each universe fills half with the water of his perspiration, and that water body is called Garbha Ocean. So he lies in this Garbha Ocean, in the bed of Shesha. Ananta Shesha, and so he's called Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu, so the Vishnu who lies in the Garbha Ocean. And from his navel then a lotus flower comes, and then from the lotus flower the first living entity is manifested, Lord Brahma. And we hear the story, Lord Brahma didn't know what to do. He tried to find out what is the source of this lotus flower that he's sitting, but as he's coming down the step, he never reached any, he just keep going, and same thing, darkness, nothing. So when he decided to give up, you know, the attempt to know what's the source of the lotus flower, he started to climb back, and he hears the word tapa. He meditated, so he took that instruction, austerity, and he performed meditations for 1,000 celestial years. 1,000 celestial years is explained that is one day in earth is 6 months in celestial, one celestial day equals to 6 months in earth. So it will be 6 months times 30 times 12. So 30, putting an average of 30 days per month. So 6 times 30 times 12 times 1,000. So that's the amount of years from this earthly perspective that Lord Brahma performed meditation. At the end of the meditation, then Krishna became pleased. He appeared to Lord Brahma. He manifested, or he gave an interest to understand, you know, the whole spiritual creation. And then shook Brahman's hand, and from that Brahman became fully enlightened and was able to, you know, perform his service. And then the Lord also enters into the heart of every living entity and into every atom as Shirodakshaya Vishnu, or the Shirodakshaya Vishnu. Also, it's very inconceivable, is the Paramatma. But although the Paramatma is present in every atom and in the heart of every living entity, he is also present in his own planet, which is a spiritual planet within this material universe. And that planet is called Swetadvipa. And actually the Svetadvip plan, the Svetadvip realm is an island that is surrounded by an ocean of milk. Therefore, he's called Shirodakshai Vishnu, who resides in this ocean of milk. And so that is, those are the Purusha avatars. Three: Karuna Dakshai Vishnu, Garbha Dakshai Vishnu, and Shirodakshai Vishnu. And then we have the Lila avatars. The Lila avatars is the incarnations of the Lord for to perform pastimes. And these pastimes, these Lila avatars, they could also be considered within the other, you know, divisions of avatars. So some of them can be Shaktiavesh, some of them can be Lila, some of them can be Yuga avatars, like that. But it's explained that the Lila avatars are pastime avatars. So the Lord manifests different forms for the performance of pastime. It's explained that in one day of Brahma, which is also known as a Kalpa, one day of Brahma is 1,000 cycles of yugas. So we know that there's four yugas. Those four yugas, 1,000 times of those four yugas is one kalpa. And and that's comprised the day of Lord Brahma. Not the night, just the day. So roughly 12 hours of Lord Brahma is one kalpa. So it's explained that in one kalpa of Lord Brahma, there are 25 Lila avatars. Now we hear sometimes the Dasa avatar. The Dasa avatars, they're all Lila avatars too, but they're the most famous of these Lila avatars. But what Lord Chaitanya discusses with Srila Sanatana Goswami is that there are 25 of them. And I'm going to mention them, you know, and all the 25. There's some of them, again, that are the most celebrated, you know, Matsya, Nara Narayan, Varaha, Balaram, you know, like that. So the first one is the four Kumaras. And the four Kumaras are considered Lila avatars of the Lord, but they're also categorized as Shaktivesh avatar. They're living entities who've been empowered by the Lord with a particular potency of the Lord to perform an activity just like the Lord. So the four Kumaras, they were empowered with the Lord's Jnana Shakti. So Jnana Shakti, the knowledge Shakti of the Lord, are manifested in the four Kumaras. And the second one, Narada Muni. Narada Muni, also a son of Lord Brahma, just like the Kumaras, and he's empowered with the Bhakti Shakti. He's also a Shaktivesh avatar, a living entity empowered with Bhakti Shakti of the Lord. And the third is Varahadeva, which we hear, you know, in the purport Prabhupada is referring to Lord Varaha. And he says that Lord Varaha is a Lila avatar, is actually directly the Supreme Personality of God. And he appears in two different millenniums, as Prabhupada explains that in some parts of the scriptures is described that he appears in the millennium of Swayambhuva Manu, and to rescue the earth, you know, from the bottom of the, you know, the ocean. And it is explained that that Lord Varaha is white, the white incarnation of Lord Varaha. And then he also appeared during the millennium of Chakshusha Manu, which is what is being described here. And that incarnation, it says that is red in color, of Lord Varaha. And sometimes it's explained that, you know, that it's the same Lord Varaha, but is manifested, you know, these two different features of colors. And sometimes it says that, you know, that the rescue of the earth happened in Swayambhuva Manus, and then the killing of Hiranyaksha is described sometimes that happens during Chakshusha Manu. So some of the explanations that I hear, that again goes over my head. I can't understand fully. One thing you can accept is inconceivable. One of the things that I heard that explains the different versions is that, you know, there is different universes too, that the narrations of the Srimad Bhagavatam have to do with sometimes different universe or different manifestations of the lore in different times and different places like that. Fourth is Matsya, the fish incarnation. And we hear that Lord Matsya came to during the devastation, partial devastation, and then he protected the Vedas and all the living entities, including Mara Satyabrata, which is the personality who actually served Lord Matsya. Then is Jagya. We hear of Jagya in the previous narration. Jagya, who is the son of Prajapati, Ruchi, and Akuti. And he was during the period of Swayambhuva Manu, as we hear it in the before the narrations of the narration of Gajendra, that this was described, that because there was no qualified Indra, then Jagya took the position of Indra. So Jagya, and then the sixth is Nara Narayan, which is the twin sons of King Dharma and Murti. And this Nara Narayan Rishi, they exhibit the supreme renunciation of the personality of Godhead, and they also explain that the Lord manifestation as Krishna and Arjuna was present, you know, came and manifested himself also as Nara Narayan. Kapila Dev is the following one, 7, the son of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. And Lord Kapila Dev is famous because he explains, you know, in great detail the Sankhya philosophy and the science of devotional service to Mother Devahuti. Dattatreya is 8, the son of Atri Muni and Anusuya. He is a combined incarnation of Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, and Lord Brahma. And it's nice pastimes, you know, that Anusuya Mata was so ecstatic when she saw the Lord, that she asked 3 times the Lord, you know, if he can appear as his son. And then the Lord, you know, gave him the blessings that, you know, he will appear in these 3 guna avatars So Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahman, Lord Shiva combine to appear as Dattatreya. And then there's Lord Hayagriva, is the ninth. Lord Hayagriva is a horse incarnation that he appeared to kill a demon who was ignorance, actually took a form, the personified ignorance took a form of this demon, and then he stole the Vedas and took it to some hellish planet, the Rasatala planet. So Lord Brahma prayed to the Lord Vishnu, to Lord Vishnu to appear, and Lord Vishnu appeared as Hayagriva and then restored the Vedas and killed this demon. And then there's the Hamsa incarnation, which is a swan incarnation, and the Hamsa incarnation came to help part of the past, and is that Lord Brahma, he became, there was, you know, part of the past, and Lord Brahma has some bewilderment and he couldn't answer questions that were presented in front of him by his sons, and at that time the Lord appeared as a swan to answer those questions, so the Hamsa incarnation. Prishnigarbha is the form of Lord Vishnu that appeared to Dhruva Maharaj, and he's the one who gave Dhruva Maharaj the Dhruva Loka, and he also accepted being in Dhruva Loka. So Prishnigarbha. And then there's Rishabha, which is the king, the son of King Nabi and Meru Devi. Rishabh Maharaj was the oldest son of Bharat Maharaj, whose the planet is named as the Bharat Maharaj, and his instructions are very relevant to Brahmacharis, the instructions of Rishabdev. He instructed his sons in the life of, you know, Brahmacharya. So when there's a study, the Brahmacharya is a study, what's the instructions for Brahmachari life, you know, this is one of the important parts of the Bhagavatam that, you know, is a study. Rishabdev's instructions. The instructions of tapasya. King Prithu is a manifestation of the Lord's ruling potency. So he's a Shaktivesh avatar also. And he was manifested from the body of King Venu, who was a very nasty king that was killed by the Brahmanas. He was so bad that the Brahmanas came together, the Brahmanas of Earth, you know, and decided we have to get rid of this guy. So he just cursing, and then he just died. So, but then they have to put a king. So they actually, from the body of King Venu, the dead body, then the Prithu Maharaj came, and he ruled, and he ruled, you know, just like the Lord will rule. And Nrisingadev is a 14, and we know the story of Nrisingadev is most dear to the devotees. And 15 is Kurma, which we're going to hear, you know, in this part of the Bhagavatam, the tortoise incarnation that he was the one who allowed the churning of the ocean of milk to actually bring there's several things what we brought, what we hear the whole pastime, but the idea was to produce this nectar of immortality. And anyways, such a amazing pastime. And then Dhanvantari, who also appear in this pastime. So there's several incarnations that appear in this churning of the ocean. Dhanvantari, he was the one that appears with that nectar of immortality. And also, Lord Dhanvantari is the father of Ayurveda. So the science of medicine comes from Lord Dhanvantari. And then, in this same pastime, during the same, then the Lord appears as Mohini, the Mohini incarnation, which is the Lord form as a beautiful woman. So it was the ultimate beauty of a woman. It was so bewildering that even Lord Shiva, well, Lord Shiva is perfectly, supremely controlled just by seeing Mohini Murti. He just went nuts. He's trying to chase after Mohini Murti. She came, and he also, the pastime of Mohini was that she tricked the demons not to take this nectar of immortality. So just by her beauty, she bewildered the demons, and she was able to save the whole universe from the demons being empowered by this nectar of immortality. And then there's Vamanadev, the dwarf incarnation, the son of Kasyapa Muni and Aditi. And we know that Vamanadev, he was able to deliver Bali Maharaj and also save the whole demigods from the ruling of the demons. So Lord Vamanadev took everything from Bali Maharaj, who was the king of the demons. Bali Maharaj was a grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, so in that line. And then there's Parshuram, Bhrigupati, son of Jamadagni, Muni, and Renuka. Lord Parshuram, he kills 21 generations of Kshatriyas. He just didn't spare anyone. So he carries an axe and just keep killing Kshatriyas until, you know, the whole thing got completely purified 21 times. And then there is Lord Ramachandra, the 20th. And Lord Ramachandra, we know the beautiful stories of Lord Ramachandra in the Ramayan, king of the son of King Dasarath and Kaushalya. And Lord Ramachandra, he exhibits, you know, the pastime of a perfect being, and a perfect human being, and a perfect king. Then the 21st is Vyasadev, the son of Parasara Muni and Satyavati. And he is the one who divides the Vedas and compiles the Vedas. 22 is Lord Valaram, the first plenary expansion of the Lord. And 23 is Lord Krishna, his original force, Swayam Rupa, the original form of the personality of Godhead. The 24 is Lord Buddha, and the 25th is Kalki. So those are, Kalki will appear, Lord Buddha already appeared. Lord Buddha is considered also a Shakti Avesh avatar. And Kalki, Lord Kalki comes at the end of Kali Yuga, and he wipes all the demons, all the miscreants. He just wiped the whole thing clean. And after that, the next Satya Yuga and the next cycle starts again. We almost finished on time. Guna avatars is Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva. Lord Vishnu, so the Guna avatars, they control the three modes of nature. Guna is for the modes of nature. So the mode of goodness is Lord Vishnu. The mode of passion is Lord Brahma. And the mode of ignorance is controlled by Lord Shiva. So In the mode of goodness, Lord Vishnu is the maintainer. In the mode of passion, Lord Brahma is the creator. And in the mode of ignorance, Lord Shiva is the destroyer. So in this constant cycles of manifestation of the material creation, then these three personalities are there controlling that. The creative power is Lord Brahma, the destroying is Lord Shiva, and then in the middle, maintaining everything, is Lord Vishnu. And then we have the Manvantara avatars, which is what we're hearing right now. That's what Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadev Goswami. Tell me about, you know, in the beginning of Canto 8, tell me about all the Manus and the different incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, during the reigns of his Manus. So these are the manifestation of the Personality of Godhead that appears during the reign of each Manu. They're called Manvantara avatars. So there are 14 Manus in one day of Brahma. So remember, the one day of Brahma is a kalpa, 1,000 cycles of yuga. You divide that into 14, and that's a reign of a Manu. In each reign of a Manu, then a personality of Godhead or an incarnation appears as the Manvantara avatar. So we hear that during the reign of the Swayambhuva Manu, which was the first Manu, the avatar that appeared was Jagya. And Jagya became, you know, took the pose of Indra because there was not a proper, you know, personality there that do that. And then, so each of the 14 Manus will have one personality. Like right now, there has been already Sukadev Goswami already described Swayambhuva Manu, Swarochisha Manu, Uttama Manu, Tamasa Manu, and now we are in Raivata Manu and Chakshusha Manu. So these are the ones that he's describing right now in this chapter, Raivata and Chakshusha. So during Swayambhuma was Jagya, during Swasorchisha was Bipu, during Uttama was Satyasena, during Tamasa was Hari. Hari was the one that came and rescued Gajendra. And now Raivata is Vaikuntha. We just heard what did Vaikuntha did. He created a Vaikuntha planet, you know, in this region, in this, you know, material world, by the request of his mother. And Chakshusha, then we're going to hear. Chakshusha is the next one that is coming, and then the incarnation will be Ajita. And Ajita is the manifestation of the Lord that takes the form of a tortoise and perform, you know, the kurma, you know, avatar pastime. The next Manu as the Chakshusha is Vaishvashata Manu, and Vaishvashata Manu is the one we live in the millennium of right now of Vaishvashata Manu. This is the Manu that is ruling the universe in our time right now. And during Vaishvashata Manu, the avatar, the Manvantara avatar was Vamana, and so on. It will continue like that. So those are the Manvantaras. And then there's the Yuga avatars, which is four. In each Yuga, there's an avatar. And the main function of this Yuga avatar is to establish the Yuga Dharma for that, or the religious practice or principle for that particular Yuga. So there's four Yugas, so there's four Yuga avatars. So in Satya Yuga, the incarnation of God is white in color. In Tetra Yuga, he's red. In Dwarpa Yuga, he's blackish. And in Kali Yuga, he is of the color yellowish or golden. And so specifically, we know Lord Chaitanya to be one of the Yuga avatars. You know, he comes to establish the Yuga Dharma, which is chanting of the holy names. And finally, you have the Shaktyavesh avatars, which is empower personalities, living entities that are empowered with a particular potency of the Lord to perform an activity. And those are main, the Kumaras, Narada, Prithu, Parshuram, Lord Buddha. We hear from, you know, in our Vaishnava line, someone like Srila Prabhupada is also being considered a Shaktyavesh avatar in terms of performing the activity. To be able to perform such an activity is naturally fully empowered by the potency of the Lord. So these are Shaktyavesh avatars. Important thing for recognizing an avatar, and that falls into all these categories, is that you have to be specified in the scriptures. There's no such a thing of, oh, he's an avatar for popular by popular vote. You know, some group of people, you know, consider, oh, he is an avatar, like that. You have to be back up by a scriptural reference. And that's, you know, some may say, well, you're doing something similar with Srila Prabhupada, you know, because he is your founder, Acharya, you know, so where is the scriptural reference of Prabhupada's? Oh, there's there. And that's something that has been found, you know, in the scriptures of, you know, the teachings of our Acharyas. Specifically, there's a narration given by Lokanath Das Goswami, in which, you know, there's a conversation between Queen Rukmini, Narada Muni, narrating a conversation of Krishna with King Rukmini, in which he explains that in Kali Yuga, he will come and explaining how he will come as Lord Chaitanya, and then he will also send his Senapati Bhakta. Senapati Bhakta means his general commander Bhakta, to actually go and express this message or this chanting of the holy names all over the world. So, who's that? Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So you recognize an avatar by scriptural reference. You have to be in the scripture. And then, you know, then we can talk about, you know, accepting you like that. So I stop here. Any comments or questions? Anyway, I'm going to, before taking questions, although you can study this more carefully, I'm giving you a synopsis from my limited perspective. And again, this is some of the parts that when it gets really technical, it's getting a little over my head. So I'm going to have that, you know, how you say claim?
Disclaimer.
Right.
I have two questions. Hare Krishna, thank you for your class. My first question is, what is an avadut?
An avaduta. Avadut describes, it's a saintly person, or it's a perfected being that acts, they have no act, is not limited by social conventions. He acts, you know, as far as social conventions, the person is crazy. He just acts completely crazy. It's like a madman, yeah. No conventions for social rules and regulations and things like that. And it's like, you know, it's a perfected being that acts like that. The example, the famous Avaduta example is Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda, you know, I mean, Haridas Thakur will go crazy going with Lord Nityananda because, you know, he's, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Speaking of perfected being, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he's not like Krishna. Krishna is concerned. Krishna says, you know, like, whatever a great person do, you know, you have to do your duties, you know. So Krishna is concerned with social things. You have to give the example. Lord Nityananda, he will jump into, you know, he will give with Haridas Thakur, and Haridas Thakur, he say, you know, I mean, he's in constant anxiety going out with Nityananda. Please don't send me with him. He's Lord Chaitanya. You know, he acts completely crazy. He jumps into the Ganges and starts to play with the crocodiles. You know, and then he is in anxiety, and then he is just playing with the crocodiles. He goes into a, you know, some dark place, some bar, you know, and then things like that. Anyway, he does all kinds of crazy things. So he's Avaduta Nityananda. So a saintly person who has, with no regards to conventions or social conventions or rules and regulations.
And so, for example, in Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya came, but his body, we were talking about it before, his body is completely spiritual. So how is it that some beings, I mean, we can't see spirit. Some living entities can't see spirit. They're too covered over. So how is it that some living entities can see Lord Chaitanya and they have spiritual vision they can see, and then other living entities don't see, you know, maybe can see him, but see him as just a regular person, as, oh, he's got flesh and bones.
Yeah, so that's what he appears to be material, but he's not. So it's the inconceivable potency of the Lord. You know, and the fact is that it's like Ledo said, you know, the divine nature of his appearance and activities. You know, to understand that is actually to, you know, then, you know, if you fully understand that in truth, you know, tat tataha, then you're ready, you're finished, ready for going back home, back to Godhead. So it's his inconceivable potencies. Like I say, he can switch. He can allow you to see. You know, so it, you know, like we see in the deities, everybody sees the deities, but who understands the deities? You know, how much we understand the deities? And we see in them, they're fully spiritual. I mean, if we go beyond this material covering and our eyes finally are opened by the salve of bhakti, of, you know, premanjana churito, the salve of love of Godhead, prema, then Krishna will see him playing his flute and dancing like the descriptions of Srila Jiva Goswami worshipping Shishira Damodar, and then he's dressed in Damodar, and Damodar is playing flute and dancing, and then he's like, please stand up quietly so I can dress you, you know, and there's Damodar just, you know, dancing and playing. So that's the deity. So same Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna, same principle. You know, we see that everybody saw him, but people have different, according to their different levels of consciousness, they were able to see him in a certain way. The example, when Krishna enters the arena of Kamsa, the old inhabitants of Mathura, they will see him, his explanation, that will see him in different ways. The Brahmanas will see him as, you know, the effulgence, you know, the Brahma Jyoti, the source of the Brahma Jyoti. You know, the Kansa was seeing him as death personified, the cowherd boys were seen as the most beloved friend, you know, like that. So many different people were seen different ways. So, according to that. All right. Anything else? Marcel Prabhu, question?
You mentioned that the four Kumaras, was it like in particular one of the four, or was it all four an avatar of Krishna?
All four.
Yeah. What was contradicting in my mind that, because the story that I've heard of the four Kumaras are that they flew and they found Vaikuntha and they weren't allowed to get in, so Vishnu had to come directly to let them in. And is that when they, like what's the, how did they realize, or when did, you know, they kind of understand that they were actually an avatar of Krishna, or Krishna, they always knew it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's part of the pastime. It's several of those personalities, like Lord Buddha, he was a prince, and, you know, it was at a particular time of his, you know, his pastime that he came, you know, the whole thing came manifested. So it's part of the pastime, you know. That the Lord manifests, you know, is for teaching something and to make a point. You know, the Kumaras, they're the yan power of the Lord. So. To manifest the full extent of that jnana power, they have to come. They were perfect Brahman realized personalities. But, you know, to go to the next part, that's when they, you know, when they had the full realization of the absolute truth, which is Bhagavan, that happens when they came into contact with the Lord. So, you know, and that's the end of all jnana, jnana van man prapadyante. The end of jnana, the end result of jnana, or the top, the final stage of jnana is Vasudeva Sarvangiti. You know, Krishna is everything. So that was that pastime. So it's usually pretty well script, you know, to just show that part, that particular potency.
I see. Thank you very much.
All right. Karantarashiman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.